Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
So I need you guys to hold on to your bells for a minute because we're going to need them again in a minute. So... now, Daniel, you're a perfect example. Do you remember when you had a new baby in your house? Who's your new baby? Well, she's not so much a baby anymore, is she? She's getting bigger. But do you remember when she came home to your house? Yeah? It's quite exciting when a baby comes, isn't it? Were you excited when your baby Leah came to your house? Yeah. Sounded real excited, didn't he? Oh, did you get a present? Oh, that's even better, isn't it? An arrival of a baby is quite exciting. I remember even just other people's babies. I get excited when other people have babies. It's quite exciting when they come home and we see them for the first time. And even in the royal family, we seem to be a bit obsessed when they've had babies. The most recent, you know, with William and Catherine and Meghan and... Harry, thank you very much. I have got it written down. I've just had a complete blank. So I did write the kids' names down. So we've had George, Charlotte and Louis. And then we've had Archie and Lilibet. So I remember the world being so obsessed when these babies were coming. Everyone was so excited. They were even taking bets as to what the names of the children would be. And the paparazzi were all there wanting to take photos of the babies and get the first look and find out what happens and who's there. And it's really exciting. There's usually when a baby is announced or a baby is born, there's usually lots of visitors that come and presents, and even Daniel got a present. That's pretty cool. I didn't get much of a present when I had my kids, but that's all right. My children were my presents, so yes, I got nappies and late nights. And some even throw parties. There's this big thing in the world now called gender reveal parties. You know, everyone gets a bit excited even before the birth even happens. Just at this very short time of pregnancy, everyone gets excited and throws a party and has presents just to find out, is it going to be a boy or is it going to be a girl? So we get really excited. And do you know the birth of Jesus was an exciting time too? He had visitors come. He had the shepherds. He had the wise men, and the angels even came and sang, and they were like throwing a party and saying, yay, Jesus is here. It was so exciting. There was bright lights and shining stars, and there was shouting and singing, all to mark the birth of Jesus. How exciting is that? In Luke it says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them. And the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. What a party that would have been. How exciting to be there. This was clearly no ordinary baby. All right, I want to know, Daniel, if you know what these are. Headphones. You want the white ones? Okay. We're not listening. We're going to use them for something else. Do you know what else you can use headphones for?
Music.
But we can actually use these ones. These ones are called noise cancelling. So do you know what noise cancelling does? It blocks out noise. So we put them on. Who else wants to wear one? Do you want one, Carrie-Anne?
Yeah.
You put that one on. All right. Do you want to put yours on? We're going to test them out. Okay? So we've got a couple of helpers. All right, so be prepared. There's going to be a bit of noise because for noise-cancelling headphones to work, we need to create some noise. So those that have a bell, that's a great opportunity to make noise. But you in the congregation that don't have bells and you online, you can make some noise too. We're going to make woo! Okay, can you practice? Woo! All right, and when I go like this, what do you think that means? Stop. So you ready? We're going to test. We're going to practice. One, two, three. Woo! Oh, you guys are amazing. Good. All right. They even know the signal to stop. Okay. Now, have you got your headphones on? Have you got your headphones on? Okay. All right. Are you ready? One, two, three. Woo! All right. Now, this time, I want you to take it off and tell me what the difference is. So take them off this time. Are you ready? We're going to do it again. You ready? One, two, three. Woo! Oh. How was that this time?
Good.
What about, which was better, with them on or with them off?
With them on.
What happens when you put them on? Could you hear the sounds?
Not yet. I can.
You can? Was it as loud as when you have them off or was it quieter? It was a little bit quiet, yeah, so they worked. Mm. And when you took them off again, was it loud again?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty loud. So remember when we read that scripture just now, we talked about God was bringing peace on earth. Sometimes we try and find peace by putting on noise-cancelling headphones. Or maybe we might go for a walk at the beach. Or maybe we might have a nice cup of tea to try and find some peace. But this peace doesn't last very long, does it? It only lasts for a short period of time. However, the peace that God brings cannot be taken away. And it will last forever. Isn't that good news? By sending Jesus, he gives us help to live through the difficult times when we need peace without feeling anxious or afraid. But we need to rest and trust in God. When we are filled with this kind of peace, we can also share it and live peacefully with other people. Let us pray, because the kids are going to go off to the kids area in a moment. So pop this in the bag. You got your headphones and you can put your headphones in the bag too if you like. And then we're going to pray as the kids go out, because they're going to be doing some Christmas activities too. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, please share your peace with us and help us to live peacefully with other people. Amen. All right, so kids, if you want to go line up at the door waiting for your helpers, I think Katrina's going up there ready. Thank you, kids, for all your help. I hope you had some fun with those bells. We'll have them again another time. Whew, I think I just need some water. There should be your clipboard up on the table, Kerri-Ann. All right. I wonder if you knew that in ancient times, if there was one king at one kingdom, and he wanted to make peace with another king at another kingdom, that they'd often make a deal. Sometimes they agreed for family members to marry. So like a son of one king and the daughter of another king, they would marry so that they would kind of have an alliance together. Sometimes they would make a treaty and make a deal as to what they would do for each other and that they wouldn't kind of get in each other's way. But one of the things that they used to do, particularly when it was in times of conflict, one king would send a gift to the other king, and it was called a peace offering. So it's where we get that term today of offering a peace offering to somebody that we might be in conflict with. The Oxford Dictionary defines peace offering as a present given to someone to show that you are sorry for something or that you want to make peace and you want to make an agreement of peace, particularly after an argument. It can also be described as an offering made to maintain or bring about peace. And if that king accepted the gift and accepted that peace offering, then they'd make a treaty and they would agree that they wouldn't go to war together, they wouldn't have conflict, that there would be an agreement that they would work together instead of working against each other. You can imagine that it would probably be a king from a weaker kingdom, someone with maybe less people or less army, that would be the one offering the gift to like a stronger king who had a bigger army or a bigger kingdom. And so it was probably done because the one from the weaker kingdom realized if they went to war with this stronger one, that they would end up losing. So they would offer this peace offering, this gift, to the stronger kingdom in the hope that they would make peace and not lose in war times to them. If we look at the Christmas story, we see baby Jesus. And he's born, and the angels saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth," is what they declare, "to those whom God is pleased." Did you know that 700 years before this, before the birth of Jesus, there was a man of God, a prophet called Isaiah? And he spoke these words, and it will come up on the screen. Isaiah 9, verse 6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Now we need to remember the context, and I'm just going to quote from a website, rethinknow.org. It says, "Remember the context. Isaiah here is describing the future when God will provide a way out of the darkness, and that will come through the birth of a child. This passage is prophesying about Jesus and what he will do for God's people." Isaiah used two terms in this first verse. A child is born and a son is given. The child points to the fact that Jesus would be human. That's his humanity. He came in flesh so that we could experience God in a new way. The title son points to the deity of Jesus or his divineness or his godliness. Because while he came in the flesh, he was still fully God. So these two terms shows that Jesus has not just man qualities, he's also God. If we look at these other terms that we read, Wonderful Counselor, that refers to a leader that is wise, that will lead the people with wise counsel. I like to think of it in terms of a counselor these days that you go to and you can kind of pour out your concerns and your worries and they can help you lead through life. I think God is the ultimate counselor for each one of us to bring our worries and concerns and do life with. Mighty God is referring to a leader that is both divine and powerful. We have a God who is not just somebody there in this cosmic atmosphere. He is a God that is powerful and knows us intimately. Everlasting Father. This implies a leader that is forever, that is eternal, but also a leader that is kind and caring like a father. Not just someone who is going to tell us off and be, you know, rigid and tell us what to do, when to do it. Someone who is going to be without threat or force, but will love us and care us as he leads us. But the part I want to focus on is this Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace is someone who would come as the son of a king, as a prince is. A prince is a son of a king. But they come with all the authority and all the regal authority that that the king has. And so Jesus comes on behalf of God the Father, the king. He comes with on behalf of him with all his authority. In Hebrew, this Prince of Peace term is Shah Shalom. So Shah means ruler or leader or captain or chief, where Shalom means peace, but it also means wholeness, welfare, health, stability, and my favorite definition, nothing missing, nothing broken. That's the peace that Jesus brings. As Prince of Peace or Shah Shalom, he is the one who removes all peace-disturbing factors. I love that term. Peace-disturbing factors, and he secures peace. I wonder if you can think about the peace-disturbing factors in your life that need removing. What is it in your life that is a peace-disturbing factor? Maybe it's stress. Maybe it's relationship problems. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's noise like we had with the cancelling headphones. Maybe it's childhood trauma. Maybe it's financial worries. Maybe it's just conflict. Maybe it's health issues. Maybe it's just watching the news. I've stopped watching the news because that was disturbing my peace. Because we don't watch the news to hear anything good. We only bad news sells. Other things might be our negative thoughts, the cost of living. The list could go on what our peace-disturbing things are in our lives. How do you try to remove those things in your life? Do you put on the noise-cancelling headphones in hope that those things will go away? Do you scroll through Facebook endlessly, not having to deal with the other things that are happening in life? Do you like shopping? Is that a good distraction for you? What are the short-term things that you do to try and restore peace? So many things that we have in our lives we use as a short-term measure to try and find peace. For some of you, you would know exactly what those things are that you have tried and you know that they don't work. Well, they only work for a short time, a bit like the noise-cancelling headphones. Only works while you've got it on. Those other things that we've tried have failed us. They only last for a short amount of time. God sent Jesus to be our Prince of Peace, to bring peace on earth, to make the conflict into shalom, wholeness, health, welfare, wholeness, stability, nothing missing, nothing broken. That's the peace that Jesus came to bring. He brings it because that's his mission. That's his job. That's why he came, so that we could have peace. Peace with God, because we really had separated ourselves from God. And sometimes we do in our everyday lives still. We are separated from God. Jesus came to make peace with the Father so that we could have peace with the Father. So that we could have peace with each other. He gives us his love and his forgiveness so that we can make peace with each other. And he gives us the peace so that we can have peace within ourselves. Because sometimes in life, we become our worst enemy because our peace has gone from within us. Part of the verse in Isaiah says, "And the government will be on his shoulders." This is reminding us that Jesus has authority and the government will be on his shoulders. Not literally, but he bears the responsibility and the authority. He is the leader. He is the king. He is the governor. He is the one in charge. And that's how we find peace. through the Prince of Peace. By surrendering our life to Jesus is how we experience this peace. Have we declared Jesus as our leader? Is he governing our lives? Or are we still trying to figure it out ourselves? Trying to find these short-term measures of how to find the peace? Or have we released our control to Jesus, who can ultimately bring us the best peace of all? Have we allowed Jesus to rule in the government of our lives? Have we handed over control to Jesus, or are we still trying to remove all of those peace-disturbing things ourselves? Peace with God, peace with others, and peace within ourselves. When I talked about the king offering a peace offering to another king, we talked about how it was probably a weaker king offering it to a stronger king. We see with Jesus, God the Father is definitely the stronger one, and we are the weaker one. So we see the reverse, this strong God of ours offering us a peace offering, the weaker ones. He flips it. He flips the script. The stronger offers the peace offering to the weaker one. We are indebted to our God. We should be the ones offering him the peace offering. But instead, he offers us Jesus and says, here, this is my son, because I want to make peace with you. God comes to us. Emmanuel, says God with us. God sent Jesus to make peace with us so that we could have peace with each other and peace within ourselves. He says, I want peace with you, and I want you to have peace and peace with yourself. But we need to accept and receive the gift. It's a bit like a Christmas present that we have under our tree. It's there, but we never open it. We never actually use it. We never take it out of its box. It's just a nice, pretty little thing, all in a nice little bow. Jesus is there waiting for us to accept that gift and to open it and receive it. The website that we looked at earlier says this about Isaiah 9:6. It says, when these words were originally written, God's people were in a dark season. This verse is a promise that God was coming to rescue them. The same is true for us today. Jesus entered into this world as a child to pursue you. Isaiah 9:6 says, shows us that God is wise, he is mighty, he is our Father, and he is bringing peace to us. Maybe today you find yourself in a dark season. Maybe you feel like the world or your community or the life that you're in is in a dark season. There are certainly things in our world that would mimic what's happened in the past from the time of Isaiah. People were unkind to each other. There was conflict. There was oppression. There was violence. There were so many things happening back then that are happening today. But this verse gives us hope, because a child has been born. A son has been given to us in Jesus. He is our wonderful counselor. He is our mighty God, our everlasting Father, and he's our Prince of Peace. When we believe and allow Jesus to be our ruler, our leader, our governor of our lives, we can experience that peace with God, peace with others, and peace within ourselves. In John 27, it says, Jesus, as an adult, says to his disciples and friends, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. And he says these powerful words, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The peace that Jesus gives is not like the world. It's not temporary. It's not ineffective. It's not half washed. It's pure. It's eternal. It's forever. The gift of peace is given to us through the Holy Spirit. We don't have Jesus in bodily form living on earth with us anymore, but he sent his Holy Spirit to be with us, to be in our world, to be guiding us, to be living in us. We just need to receive that gift, because Jesus has promised that we would have peace. All we need is to accept the gift and receive it. We're going to sing a song in a moment, and it's called O Come All You Unfaithful. You probably know the carol, O Come Ye Faithful. Does anyone know that carol? Well, this one is a different version, because, you know, I'm not always faithful to God. And certainly we've all been unfaithful at certain times where we've not been who we were meant to be. Sometimes we're broken. Sometimes we're unstable. Sometimes we have fears. Sometimes we are angry. Sometimes we have things going on that we forget about God. We aren't always faithful. So this song says, O come, all you unfaithful. Come, weak and unstable. Come, know you are not alone. This song invites us to come. It's the words of Jesus speaking to us, saying, O come, all you. I don't mind that you have turned your back on me. I don't mind that you've gone your own way, but come back. Come back, because if you're broken, I can put you back together. It says, O come, barren and waiting ones, weary of praying, come. See what your God has done. We talked about that song, Do You Hear What I Hear? Do you see what I see? Are you aware and seeing what God has done? And the chorus says, Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is born for you. He didn't come because he felt like coming. He came because he had a purpose. He came for each and every one of us. He came to bring us his peace. It says he's the lamb who was given, slain for our pardon. His promise is peace. He's promised it. He will deliver. His promise is peace for those who believe. He's the lamb who was given. O come, guilty and hiding ones, it says. There is no need to run. See what your God has done. It says, O come, bitter and broken. Come with fears unspoken. Come taste of his perfect love. What are you coming with today? What is God inviting you into or out of? Take off the noise-canceling headphones that you've been trying to use to block out all the things that are disturbing your peace, and come to the one who can give you ultimate peace. Come to him today. I'm going to invite the singers to come up as we sing this song and just allow God to speak to you in this moment. What is he asking you to ignore? What is he asking you to get rid of? Those peace-disturbing things that we need to remove in our lives. Let us come to Jesus.